UCW, listen up. It's your savior, Kobe Christ, speaking. The last time that I graced your ring with my presence, I was a mere second away from becoming maritime champion. Until you stuck your nose in my business, Chip Chambers. On the upcoming UCW Summer Explosion Tour, Chip, Julian, you're both in my crosshairs now. Prepare to feel the right hand of Kobe Christ and a God stomp from above. I'll meditate for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, good brothers, good sisters, welcome back to episode 4 of Ringside Rant, right here on the one, the only, the Visionaries Wrestling Network. I have the honor of sitting down with somebody that I've come to know quite a bit over the last little bit of time. He is the Maritime Champion up in Ultimate Championship Wrestling up in the Maritimes, which pretty much encompasses a lot of the provinces up in Canada. So I have the honor of sitting down with Kobe Christ. Kobe, how are you doing today?
Yep, not a complaint to be had, RJ. Yourself?
You're hanging in there. a little warm down here. The snow's actually melted down here in Rochester, so... unfortunately, you probably can't say too much about that up by you, but
no, it's absolutely gorgeous. It was 6 degrees, and yeah. All the canoers are out on the lake in front of my house today.
Oh, there you go. You know, you get that time of the year, you get a lot of people. I know my wife has family up in Ottawa, and they live right on the Rideau Canal there, the Rideau River, I think.
And, Rio Canal, yes,
yeah,
sir.
And they actually, we go up there every once in a while during the winter for the Winter Lute Festival they have up there. And
that's gorgeous.
And we've been going up there. I see my son's 5. We've probably been going up there probably about 6 or 7 years, given the weather permitting and all that stuff. It's cold enough. And it's just amazing that you could basically, people just ice skate to work all the time being there in the city. And
yes, sir.
You know, it's definitely you don't see that very much down here in the States, unfortunately.
That's a sick little family tradition, though.
Yeah, well, you know, we've done it when before my wife and I were married, and then our son came along, and we brought him up there, and friends of ours came up, and then they brought their daughters up. So it's been kind of a domino, a good domino effect, anyways, for the
That's awesome.
For the for the city of Ottawa there and everything they do over
Ottawa.
There and
Ottawa also has some sick wrestling, so
yeah, that
really
was
good wrestling promotions up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that was, you know, next time we go up, I may have to check that out. I know the last couple times we went up there, I wasn't privy to the that type of wrestling up in the Ottawa area, and we took a bus over to Montreal too to see the city of Montreal and all that good
Another
stuff.
Another gorgeous
and,
city.
Yeah.
I just finished wrestling in Ottawa not a month ago.
Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful city any time of the year, really.
Yes, sir.
And same thing like Montreal and Quebec and all those, and they're historical cities. It's always a good, everybody talks about, you got to go down to the States and all that stuff as far as vacation. I'm like, no, I'd rather go up to Canada and see a lot of history that you normally wouldn't see on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I've been coast to coast myself, probably over 15 times in my life. So
coast to coast in Canada, you're talking, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. But that's what I figured, too. Now, for those of my listeners that don't know who Kobe Christ is, just give me a brief history of who you are.
myself, Kobe Steele. I'm a 32-year-old man from Eastern Canada who trained under Scott D'Amore, Tyson Dukes, and Johnny Devine in Windsor, Ontario. I did that in 2004 through 2007. I just started wrestling professionally about a year and a half ago here in the Maritimes. Just started my career finally. Kobe Christ, the character, is a character that I developed through playing Dungeons and Dragons and through my obsession of history and specifically religious history.
And that's something that I've, you know, and that's something that at least they drew me to, that that particular, as you said, the character of Kobe Christ, where it's not an ordinary character that you see a lot on, not alone at least the independent circuit, or even like the main rosters, whether it be WWE, NXT, Impact, Ring of Honor. You don't really see a lot of that type, which I love the character myself too, and it's
thank
hard,
you.
And it's for me anyways, it's hard not to be a fan. You know, even the fact that, yeah, sometimes you're a heel, sometimes you're a face, but you know, it's one of those things that I've mentioned to you before. I'm like, I wanna get on Twitter, get the hashtag yoga with Kobe trending worldwide. and see if it would trending, just to get, just to see, you know what I mean? It's just one of those things, you're kind of, you know, you're bored at work one day, or, you know, it's just like, there's not a time that I don't think about wrestling, and I'm sure you're the same way. And,
yes, sir.
And I'm like, you know what? What happens if this, okay, hashtag Kobe, or yoga with Kobe. Okay, send. And yeah, and it just snowballs. I'm like, oh wow, it may not be trending, but it gets enough reaction where like, oh wow, people are paying attention.
You never know where these things are gonna go, especially with TV and with things getting trending and going viral. The internet itself, you never know where things go.
Yeah, in a way, especially the way with social media and, you know, technology is now. It's You never know who's going to see it, who's going to hear it. And secondly,
yes,
it's one of those things, especially with Ultimate Championship Wrestling, the way that you guys have been in the Maritimes. It, like I said, it's one of those things where I've heard interviews you've done before, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to check them out on Facebook, check you guys out on Facebook or YouTube or whatever. And I'm like, oh, well, they just started a YouTube page. You got to subscribe to that. You know, you get all these promos coming, and you get all these matches that come across. And like I mentioned to you, that one of the goals that I have is just to get everybody in the Maritimes, whether it be, like you said, yourself, I'm interviewing now, I've interviewed JP Sims, and like I said, in a couple of weeks I'll be sitting down with Mr. David Boyce. So hopefully it's a way, I think it comes where you could be myself down here in Western New York, and I could hop on my iPad or my iPhone or whatever, and I could watch you guys live, you know, and it's phenomenal.
Exactly.
And I think it's good for gentlemen like yourself that, like, you know, they're just starting in the business or even have been in the business for a while, that they can, you know, they get their hype videos online, you know, and just send it out to get to promoters across Canada or even down in here in the States.
Exactly. Social media has changed absolutely everything for our profession, for entertainment in general. But it's life altering. Like guys like Dick Durning up here.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Durning's been wrestling in the Maritimes for like 10 years, mm-hmm, and gone completely unnoticed and underrated in this area. He destroyed this area. He's amazing. He's a master of his arts. But nobody knew his name, and now he gets the regards that he deserves finally, which is awesome.
Yeah, and I saw him.
Like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say guys like I mean Dick Durning, Marco Estrada, Titus, Dynamite, Dylan Davis, Chip Chambers, Sabotage. Like there's a litany of people in this area that are just they're ready to be noticed, and it's nice to see them finally recognized.
You know, it was one of those things too that I'm glad you brought up, Dick Durning, is I saw him the last event that you I think you defended against. Was it Matt Angel, I believe?
Yes, sir. Back-to-back nights.
Yeah. And I think Dick ended up, was he at the main event or was it semi-main event, or I can't remember what.
Dick Durning was main event one night and semi-main the other night.
I think it was the first night I saw. Yeah. I think it was the first night I saw, because I think he faced Marco Estrada.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, okay. But yeah, it was just one of those things where, you know, like we go back to the technology nowadays, it's like, you get to see good wrestling across the board. You don't have to, you know, back in the day when growing up watching wrestling myself, you had to wait till the tape came out to watch it.
Yeah.
And
I mean, either tape trading or waiting for it to appear on things like Kazaa or LimeWire on the internet.
Yeah.
Getting a bunch of viruses.
Yeah, exactly. Downloading it illegally.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's amazing. Like you said, I really think that's that little corner of Canada that nobody knows about, but it's a hidden jewel, I guess you could say, of Canada. Do you think that's one of the best kept secrets of Canada as far as, you know, the talent in the area?
I wouldn't just go just to say in Canada. I would say globally, mm-hmm. we're probably the most untapped, unrecognized area. But anywhere that you go, the Maritimes name resonates. Like our history still resonates. We still have people who carry our name internationally, like Brody Steele. So that when we do get to go internationally, the name of the Maritimes is still carried. It's just there's so very few of us who get that potential now because there was so few eyes on us. Mm-hmm. Now that the, like you said, the eyes are here, mm-hmm. it's awesome, the opportunities. Madison Miles just had her first tour internationally, mm-hmm. and we'll be going back out again soon to the UK. Mm-hmm. There's a 18-year-old girl locally that's just killing us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a few of the matches that, you know, and like I said, it's more of a snowball effect. Once I found yourself, I found JP, found Marco, I found Dick Durning, and you know, it's a snowball, and you know, I stumble across Madison Miles, and I'm like, wow, here's she has something. You know, it's just a matter of putting your finger on it and seeing what it is.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's
hyper talented.
Yeah, and it's definitely, it goes back to, you know, the, you know, booking her the right way, and you know, and putting her in the right putting her in the right matches to have, and
yes,
to show, and to show her talents. And I think that's one thing that you guys definitely do well up there at UCW. But coming up, actually tomorrow, I wrote down this wrong. Coming up tomorrow, you're actually going against, you know, a gentleman that calls himself the King of the North. And that being Carter Mason.
Yes, sir.
What, you know, a lot of guys have their own nicknames today. What do you think of that nickname that he has? And what can you say publicly, I guess you could say, that you have in store for him for tomorrow's match?
I mean, nicknames are what they are, and yeah. when they're self-given, I don't have to say too much else. When you're a legend, people give you a nickname. When you're a god, people call you such.
Mm.
When you're a king, you expect to have a kingdom. You expect the guy to have followers. I've never seen him have anybody follow him.
Mm.
I just see him run his mouth on Instagram a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, and honestly, I think he's one of the best in Canada. I don't want that to sound like I'm underestimating Mr. Mason.
Mm-hmm.
He's an incredibly gifted wrestler. Everything he does in that ring that he's copy and pasted from other athletes that he's watched on the indies, high end. What he does in there that he's seen work with other independent wrestlers in the U.S. scene, perfect. But he just hasn't wrestled a guy like me before. Mm. He hasn't fought somebody who will actually punch him in the face, who will drop him on his head, who will kick him in the face, because I'm not his friend. I don't really want to play. I don't really want to roll around and do some pretty spots like he's used to. I'm just going to kick him. Mm. Again and again and again and again. I'll grab him by his pretty little hair and I'll throw him down because he weighs about 155 pounds soaking wet holding the cinder block. I don't want to underestimate the guy. I think he's amazingly talented for a lightweight division.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we saw what happened with Chip Chambers. When you're a 155, when you're 2 inches shorter than me, I've got a longer reach, and I don't really care about punching you in the face. We see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I can't, you know, there's nothing that you can really say after that as far as, you know, I know I've seen him a bunch of times down here in Western New York a few times, and,
yes, sir.
You know, he definitely, like you said, he's one of those, he's definitely a good athlete, but, you know, he hasn't met anybody such as yourself yet that'll actually, you know, take it to him.
Yeah, he has a lot of pretty wrestling matches. I don't see him fight too much. Mm. I saw him get the shit kicked out of him by Josh Alexander, I can tell you that. And I think that may have been one of the first guys that he's come into the ring with that punches it as hard as I do.
Yeah.
And Josh Alexander outweighs me by, I don't know, a good 45 pounds, but Carter Mason, tomorrow night, give me your best shot. Yeah. I'm going to walk away with my belt, yeah. Plain and simple.
Yeah, you know, and it's not – it's definitely going to be a good match. I'm not going to doubt that. But, however, before you get to Friday night, you actually have an open challenge on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
For your title. Is there anyone in specific that you would like to accept your challenge for your title on Thursday night before you even get to Carter Mason?
Sure, you know, there's a lot of guys in the building that night that I'd like to kick the crap out of.
Yeah.
Marcus Burke, Dick Durning, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, Marco Estrada. I mean, there's a lot of guys there that I could kick the face off of, and I haven't been in the ring with yet outside of Mr. Durning. So you put any one of them, have them come out, face me in the open challenge, and watch me beat the face off them. Plain and simple. Let me go over on those boys the way I go over on everybody else who goes in front of me. I'll tap them out, or I'll kick their head off. One or the other.
Yeah.
Either way, whoever walks through that curtain, whether it's Madison Miles with her, you know, little Hulk Hogan ear flap thing that she does, or it's little Nemesis, whoever wants to come out, I don't care.
Mm.
I'll knock them down, and I'll, like, the same thing that I said about Carter Mason. I'll kick them in the face until they tap out or they stay down.
There you go. You can't deny that. That's for damn sure. But did you grow up as a wrestling fan, or, you know, was it something that you kind of got into later in life?
No, big fan since I was 4 years old, as far back as I can remember, really.
Mm-hmm. No, what was it? Was your go-to promotion like WWF at that time, WCW? Did you look, you know, watch those stuff from up in Canada, Stampede? What was your go-to promotion?
WWF was on TV when I grew up, so I watched that primarily, as that was the one that I had access to on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
As I got a little bit older, it was WWF and WCW regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I watched TNA since its inception. Mm-hmm. Every single Wednesday, I bought the pay-per-view at my friend's house with a couple of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Ring of Honor when I got tapes and I could tape trade, PWG and Chikara when I could tape trade.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been a massive consuming nerd of wrestling. ECW, as soon as I heard of this, was buying tapes or going over to my cousin's house to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I could consume in wrestling, or I mean any athletics that I want to get into, but wrestling being the main athletic I was obsessed with. If you could give me something to consume, whether it was old 70s work on a tape that my cousin just happened to have laying around, or modern hardcore stuff or deathmatch stuff, I was going to watch it. I was going to consume it. I was going to understand why people enjoyed it, and I was going to try to emulate it.
Yeah. You know, and I'm glad you brought up the ECW. It was ECW when I, growing up outside of Buffalo, I actually, my parents wouldn't let me watch ECW just because it was ECW and it was hardcore.
Yeah.
And so I forgot when it was on. It had to be late at night. And I used to have a TV in my room, so it was the old, you actually had to get up and turn the knob kind of TV.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I don't remember what channel it was, but they broadcast, it was a local affiliate, either there or out of Toronto, I can't remember. But I would just sit there and just turn the channel and just watch it. And it would be on for an hour, and then, you know, if, you know, I heard my parents get up or something, okay, turned off, get in bed.
Yep.
And then go back up and then turn it back on. And
that's massive sneaking it. Yep.
And that was one of those things. And for, you know, a lot of the times, and you mentioned the tape trading, all that stuff. And for those of my listeners that don't know what tape trading is, Google it. And
it was the best.
Oh, it was by it far.
It made every match feel like a diamond in the rough that you and only you could find.
Mm-hmm. And it was one of
it
those,
was incredible.
It was one of those things growing up. I saw my first event that I actually went to my friend's house and bought was, I want to say, was it WrestleMania 9 that was in Vegas? That was outside, I want to say.
Okay, I'm not 100%.
It was over at Caesar's Palace. I can't remember.
Yes, sir.
But that was, you know, that was one of those glitz and glamour kind of thing. And then it's like, I tape traded before that with other WrestleManias with WrestleMania 7 and 8, but it was just one of those things. You saw the aura and the awe of the business, and it's like, wow. And
all the white robes and the gold and
exactly.
Yeah, that was gorgeous.
You know, and it was one of those things where throughout time, you know, you get those little spurts in there where, oh man, I'm not going to watch wrestling. I don't know what the heck with it. And then every time I always went back to it, you know, and I caught it right again when it was the Attitude era with WWF and WCW. And, you know, I got back at the right time. And, you know, as they say, the rest is history. And, people are like, oh, you're going to outgrow it. I'm like, no, you know.
No, that's like saying you're going to outgrow movies or you're going to outgrow TV.
Yeah.
I don't think outgrowing an entire medium of ours is ever going to happen for people.
Yeah, you know, and it was my wife is probably one of those people where she's like, oh, I wish, but earlier on before we were married, it was like, you know, she knew I was a big wrestling fan and all that stuff, and her and my roommate at the time would actually make fun of me because when we went to college, you know how everybody brings posters and puts them on the walls and all that stuff, and everybody's putting up band posters and, you know, musicians and all that stuff. Well, not this guy. This guy's putting up Triple H posters where he's in the gym and he's flexing, and I'm like,
yeah.
Everybody's making fun of that's fake. I'm like, all right, well, just, you can't fault me for liking what I like, so.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's something that, you know, you like what you like, and if you outgrow it, then fine. If not, then so be it.
exactly.
Now, being in the Maritimes that you are, like you said, you have such a plethora of talent that you could go against. What is one or two guys, you know, I know it's hard to narrow them down, but what's a few guys that you want to work with that you haven't worked with yet?
Top on the list, Marcus Burke.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus and I have yet to get the chance of being across from one another in the ring. He's top on the list. Mm-hmm. Tyson Dukes, obviously, one of my trainers.
Mm-hmm.
I would love getting a chance to work with Mr. Dukes.
Mm-hmm.
Dynamite Dillon Davis, I've wrestled him only once before, and I would step in the ring with him any night of the week. I think he's one of the best untapped talents.
Because mm-hmm. I know... You're actually the one that turned me on to Dylan Davis too, and watching his videos and all that stuff online, and it was just, you know, like you said, it's that untapped amount of talent there.
Oh, he's spectacular. He's like a tiny younger Tyson Dukes.
Yeah, and like I said, and that being said, is he one of those guys that you really we should really keep our eyes on coming out of the Maritimes?
I would highly suggest it. He worked Destiny last year.
Yeah.
He worked NSPW. He's been down to Monster Factory. That's a guy ready to explode. He'll be all over. He'll be international this year, guaranteed.
Yeah. Is that something that you're potentially looking into doing, going international, going overseas to, you know, the UK or Japan or Mexico?
100%.
Yeah. You know, get
yes, sir. 100%.
And maybe you'll teach the way of meditating to, you know, the Japanese people or the Mexico people, or, you know, get them on board with the meditating with Kobe Christ.
You know, the hope would be to show up and learn from local cultures as much as I could, absorb from them, and then dictate back to them after I've absorbed what I could, that their culture's wrong, and I was in fact the god that they thought that they were watching the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
That would be the hope.
Well, that could always be the hope for that. That's for darn sure.
Followers all over the world is what I look for.
There you go.
Capitulation is always the greatest thing that I look for in a person.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now, like you mentioned, being trained by Scott D'Amore, Tyson Dukes, they're big names, all not only in the States down here, but as well as across Canada. What's something that you learned from the both of them that you still use, you know, continuously from day to day and match to match?
Both of those and Johnny Devine, my three trainers, each one, Scott taught me psychology as a basis before anything else, the concepts of why I do the things that I do when I do them, why I'm trying to win, what I'm trying to accomplish, how I get myself across to people, how I can address myself to people, how I carry myself before a show and after a show. All of those concepts Scott drilled into me because I met him at 18.
Mm-hmm.
I met him with $400 in my pocket. The man is highly responsible in developing me past 18.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Dukes developed every part of my technical expertise in a ring, my flair, my control, my like anything that I do in a ring is copy and pasted from stuff that I've learned from Tyson over time, just tweaked and developed. Johnny Devine taught me how to survive in a ring. He is a shooter. He is tough. He's grizzled. He has such a love and respect, deep guttural respect for the business, that he taught me how to survive in a ring. I was 110 pounds when I showed up at wrestling school, and I was told by Scott and Johnny that people would try to victimize me in a ring. And so they made me understand how to stay responsible, how to protect myself, how to defend myself, and if need be, how to, like I said, kick the face off of somebody.
Yeah.
And that's kept me pretty safe at 32. I've yet to ever be knocked out by another man in my life.
There you go. It's always, and like I said, with Scott D'Amore, you know, it was one of those things where not only did he do so much for you, but he does so much for the business of professional wrestling, where in my opinion, he's the one guy that's going to be, and Don Callis being the other one, is going to be turning Impact Wrestling around. And
just like they did in the past, and they'll do it again.
Yeah. And to go on to the other fact of Tyson Dukes, I am very, very surprised. I can't remember who I had the conversation with, that he is not on NXT or WWE right now, or any other main roster. You know what I mean? As far as Ring of Honor. He is, if anybody knows that intuition that he has, somebody has it, it's Tyson Dukes. And
by spectacular. And Ontario has benefited massively from him being in their backyard for so long.
Oh, yeah.
The Ontario scene has developed so strong because of him.
Mm-hmm. And he goes, it was one of those things, like you said, you've been coast to coast in Canada, and he's pretty much the same way, where he goes to your, like, your Smash, or, you know, he'll go out to, you know, to UCW, and, you know,
yes, sir,
and just had these outstanding matches with everybody, but also at the same time, he makes everybody else in the ring that he's wrestling look good, too.
He's an elevator. He elevates everyone around him. Yes, sir.
And it was one of those things, I'm like, wow, that's one of the things I want to see, a Kobe Christ and Tyson Dukes match coming up real soon.
I would be so blessed.
Oh, yeah. But more importantly, can anyone meditate with Kobe Christ? Is it something?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's not like a frass or some sort of club. No, so long as you wish to meditate with Kobe Christ and you give me a backhand, you know, you can hang out and meditate with Kobe Christ. I welcome all weirdos, freaks, normies, jocks, geeks. I accept everybody. Anybody can meditate with Christ.
Oh, there you go.
Yes, sir.
Oh, it's one of those things. It doesn't hurt. Although it can make you better.
Absolutely. We all get clarity together. That's the point.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned being, you know, a lot of the business today now, whether it be ROH or Impact or Japan or even WWE, seems to have a lot of stables or groups.
Yes, sir.
In it today. Do you think that that's something that's good for the business, or do you think it's something that, you know, could be less of?
No, I like the ebb and flow of business like that. For a long time, there was no factions, there was no grouping, there was no organization like that. So I like the fact that it started coming back. Feels kind of like the early 90s or the early 2000s again, that kind of local territorial grouping feel. And no, I like it. It just means that there's more groupings of people that I get to tear down. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes it's one of those things where you think about it, it's like, oh, maybe it's overdone a little bit, but then you sit down, you watch it, I'm like, okay, well, that's why they did that. You know, it's that light bulb moment that comes on. It's like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense now.
Absolutely.
And like I said, we said over and over again, with the Maritimes being such a hotbed for wrestling talent, would you ever consider, you know, coming down to the States, working some promotions down here? Or you just kind of want to stay in the Maritimes and, you know, the Canada area right now, earlier on?
No, I'll be down to the States hopefully this year at some point.
Mm. Anywhere specifically we could look out for you, or...?
Chikara Pro Wrestling is what I'm looking at, hopefully, getting into. CZW would be another one that I'm hopefully looking at.
Because they're in Philly, right? CZW?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I knew for a short time there that I thought I heard somewhere that they were moving outside of Philadelphia, but I'm like, well, that's not right, because, you know, CZW is Philadelphia.
100%.
If you were to start a promotion, you know, in wherever it may be, who would you book to be in your main event? You know, it could be anybody in the Maritimes. It could be anybody, you know, any main rosters, anybody in general.
You know, that's a really hard question. There's so many workers that I've studied in my life. Chris Jericho would probably be in any main event that I would ever have a chance to book if I had unlimited financial ability.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho, plain and simple, knows how to sell wrestling, knows how to sell tickets, knows how to sell a match, knows how to put a match together that makes sense. Minoru Suzuki, also, I'm a big nerd for, always have been. So anything with Suzuki, I would also be nerding out for. Mm-hmm. So the chance of having Jericho Suzuki matches like that would be high on my list.
Yeah, and it's one of those things too, when you when you throw matches like that out there, excuse me, it's one of those things. It was my old saying. It was, hey, take my money. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's one of those things. You see, like I meant, you see, like, you know, Tyson Dukes, Kobe Christ, take my money. You know what I mean? And it's just one of those things where you look at it on paper, it's like, oh wow, and then you actually get there, and it's like, holy crap, did he just do that?
Absolutely, and it would never have the chance of not living up to expectation.
Yeah,
that's what those dudes do. That's the beauty.
Well, yeah, and it's just one
it's
of
like
those...
Jericho Omega.
Exactly,
that and was that, just incredible.
It was even one of the matches. I don't know if you saw the one. What was it? Sunday. It was the tag team match with the Young Bucks versus the Golden Lovers.
Oh, amazing.
And it was just like, when you think it's over, nope, no, it's like, oh, jeez. It goes to that old adage where, you know, when you think that Jason's dead, he just pops right up from the old movie with Friday the 13th. He's like, he pops right up. It's like...
It's like The Simpsons, Nelson, when they're in Branson. Oh. You think he's done and he just keeps bringing him back in.
Yeah, but it just it goes to show you where you don't have to be in WWE or NXT, which is good, don't get me wrong. But you could be anywhere and see great matches, like I said, whether it be in the Maritimes, whether it be in... any corner of Canada, or it could be overseas in the UK or Japan or wherever, and it's just it makes me happy enough where I could throw it on my iPad, you know, type it in, and you know, I could watch UCW or New Japan or Ring of Honor, and with a couple taps of the keyboard.
Yeah, the business is very strong right now, which is really cool to see. Mm. And guys are making a living outside of the main promotions, which is really nice, being able to see people artistically making a living in wrestling.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where you see a lot of these younger talents come in, just with a few of the promotion that I'm involved with down here in Rochester. And it was, you see these guys that, you know, they have something. They don't have it all yet, but you know, if with a couple, you know, being pushed in the right direction, whether it be by a trainer or a promoter or whatever, if you get pushed in the right direction, you know, only the sky's the limit.
Yes, sir.
And like you said, it's just the way that social media and technology is, you know, all you got to do is, you know, record it, send it out, and it could be in a promoter's hand within seconds or minutes even.
Right place, right time as well.
Huge. Exactly. And it's all, and, yep. and from what I've seen too, and from what I've known, and the few people that I've known in the independent circuits, about who you know too. Yes, sir. If you know so and so over this promotion, and that promoter knows another promoter, there's two bookings right there.
Yes, sir.
And you know, but when push comes to shove, it all comes down to what can you do in the ring? What can you do in front of a camera? What can you do in front of, with a microphone in your hand? So it's all...
Can you sell tickets?
Yeah. Whether
you're
a heel or
face. Can you in the future be able to sell tickets for a promotion? Are you a booking? Are you a commodity? Mm-hmm. And that's what people are looking for. Things that keep fans' butts in the seats and more butts coming back.
Yeah. Now, there's a few more questions I have, but before that, if anybody came to you and asked you for any type of advice with, as far as, you know, guys or gals getting into the business or thinking about getting into the business, what some advice would you give them, you know, to guide them in the right direction?
The only two pieces of advice I give to anyone who asks about getting into wrestling, it's twofold. It's one, get into a gym. And become athletic, whether that's just through weight training or variances of weight training, yoga training, fight training, whether that's MMA or boxing or jiu-jitsu or judo or whichever it may be, a variant of training so that you can learn how to fight, how to look like you know what you're doing, defending somebody punching you in the face, because otherwise you're not going to look very good in the ring. The other would be get to a proper trainer, somebody who has a resume behind them, a history behind them of creating and generating professionals, not just people in tights, but actual professional wrestlers, somebody who you can look at their history and their resume and say, I have a chance of not just beating myself up, not just killing myself because wrestling sucks, the ring sucks, the bumps suck, hitting your head on concrete sucks, having 250-pound people dive from 12 feet down onto you sucks. None of it is a load of fun, except all of it is a load of fun, and it takes a truly masochistic weirdo to understand that, so... Find a proper trainer so that you're not just killing yourself. You're able to make money.
That's definitely good advice. You know, it's one of those things where it's one of those things I keep on saying to a bunch of the guys that some I talk to here on in person is, you know, you can go so many directions in the business. You got to make sure when you start that you have to get into the right direction, because there's so many potholes metaphorically in the road that you could hit and you get totally thrown off.
100%. I'm living proof, and like in the Maritimes, there's especially there's a lot of roadblocks to getting ahead, to getting farther, to getting seen. And I'm so very fortunate for the school that I went to, in that the name Scott D'Amore, the name Tyson Dukes, the name Johnny Devine, they carry weight with them. And so when I have those people backing me, when they appreciate my work a year into my job so far, you know, a year and a few months, and it carries weight with it when I try to get other jobs.
Excellent. And before we shut down for the night, I like to do something each show that, you know, it's kind of like a speed zone where it's like, okay, it's either this or that. There's a bunch of lists here. There's some kind of off the wall kind of things. There's some serious ones. So I'll go right down the list. Canadians or senators?
Neither.
Okay. No, now you have to be a little more. You don't like hockey or?
No, I'm not the biggest hockey nerd ever. I played in Nets for 18 years. Screw the Sens and screw the Canadians. I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan through and through. I bleed blue and white.
I was gonna put the Leafs down, but being from Buffalo, I had to. You know, took every inch of me not to write down the Leafs.
I'm sorry. Screw the Sabres as well.
Okay, that's fine too. You know, they suck this year too. So I'll take that. Molson's, or I should say Molson or Labatt's.
Neither.
Okay.
Olin's or Schooner.
Okay, that's got to be it. Yeah, I'd never heard of those before. Either one of
yes,
those.
Yes, sir.
Now, this is a little bit more down your alley. Rougeau Brothers or Edge and Christian?
Oh, the Rougeaus for sure. And that's no disrespect to ENC. Love them for life, but Rougeaus for life.
Yeah. Bugs Bunny or Daffy Duck?
Daffy Duck.
Poutine or Beaver Tails?
Poutine all day.
Side note, do you actually know what Beaver Tails are?
Oh my God, yeah.
Okay, I asked somebody that was, I forgot who I was talking to, that was actually, they were from Canada, but they moved down to the States, and they didn't know what Beaver Tails was. And I'm Beaver Tails are?
I'm a skinny fat kid. I love all food, so I've eaten my fair share of confectionaries.
Exactly, and it was one of those things, too. When I ended up going, like I said, we go up to Canada every once in a while, see my wife's family, and during that winter festival, they sell Beaver Tails.
And, they're huge in Ottawa. Beaver Tails are so over in Ottawa. It's exactly. Not even this.
And I go up there and I probably eat in one day probably about half a dozen myself. And I'm not kidding.
Surprise me. And they're tasty.
Oh my God, you just get the sugar and then you got to put the cheese on. It's like, okay, I have to stop. thank God I'm on ice skates. I can like skate up and down the river there and actually burn it off. But
burn off a bit of it, yeah.
Now, the sharpshooter or the crossface?
Sharpshooter.
I had no doubt in that. And then finally, Batman or Superman?
I'm gonna go Batman. I'm more of an intelligence-based person than a God-gifted talent kind of man.
There you go. Well, at least you know what can outlast him. You just grab him some kryptonite, and then he goes away.
All about being able to kick somebody's ass when I'm still 55.
There you go. Amen to that. And lastly, before we get to your plugs, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show today. You know, it's been a, you know, since I've been watching your stuff online and seeing your stuff live and all that stuff, I definitely told myself, and I talked to Lewis about it too, and I had to get you on one way or another.
Dude, that, thank you so much. It means the world.
And hopefully it's one of those things. Hopefully we'll see you down here in the States and down by me up out here in New York sometime soon in the future. And
100%, I guarantee we'll make that happen.
There you go. I would love to make that. I think it's about 12 or 14 hour drive from my front door to the Maritimes. So I don't know if I can quite make that drive alone. So
it's a big one.
And if I do make that drive, I may be alone when I come back because I think my wife will leave me. but anyways, on a lighter note, I guess you could say, but you know, take the last few moments just to plug anything that you have, social media, events you got coming up, and we'll go from there.
No, you can always check me out, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Kobe Christ. I'm always posting new content, especially on Instagram, regularly there. The UCW page, obviously, on YouTube. You can check out some of the most recent matches that I'll be running. Kaizen, also on YouTube. There'll be regularly updated matches on there from our training center here in Halifax. I've got a tour with ACWA in Cape Breton with Cody Diener on it coming up. The UCW tour, Wrestle Nova Scotia tour, doing a tour again at the end of June with UCW where I'll be in a cage against Dick Durney in Cape Breton. Just keep checking in with me, check out my matches, and hopefully you're a fan.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's one of those things, too, and if for all my listeners that, you know, don't know Kobe Christ, go to YouTube, go to Google, type him in, follow him on Twitter, follow him on Facebook, Instagram, what have you. Once you see his matches, you know you're not going to want to you're not going to want to watch any other matches after that. I can tell you that for sure.
Come watch a cartoon character wrestle.
Hey, you know, hey, it works. It works. Hey, if anybody can get a cartoon character over, it's you. I know that for damn sure.
Thank you very much, sir.
But like I said, first and foremost, I appreciate you coming on today. Excuse me. Good luck on Thursday, Friday, and the coming weeks and promotions that you're working for. And hopefully we'll talk again sometime over the summer and check in with you.
Thank you very much, and I'll meditate for you today.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Ringside Rant right here on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. You can follow us on Twitter at VizWrestleNet. That is V-I-S, WrestleNet on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook at Visionaries Wrestling Network. Give my boys in the network a shout out and a follow on Twitter, the View from the Top Rope podcast. Follow them on Twitter at View from Top Rope. Follow as well the MGB Wrestling Podcast, the two additions to the Visionaries Wrestling Network. You can follow me on Twitter at Raymond_VWN. That is at Raymond_VWN. Make sure you give Kobe Christ a follow. He is a phenomenal talent that you are going to be seeing very soon across the country, across Canada, and maybe even overseas.
So go over to Twitter, give him a follow across Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Go find him on YouTube. Make sure that you watch his matches, because you're not going to want to miss one of his matches. As well as go over and follow us on iTunes. You subscribe to the Visionaries Wrestling Network. You like us, you subscribe to us, you rate us, you give us a 5-star review, you take a picture of it, you send it over to me on Twitter at Raymond_VWN, and I will give you a shout out on the show as well as on Twitter. So go over to iTunes and subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and we'll give you a shout out on the show. You can also find us on Podable, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and Podknife. So thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Ringside Rant. And on next week's episode of Ringside Rant, episode number 5, you will have the one, the only, J-Rock from Ring of Honor Wrestling. So stay tuned for that phenomenal interview that I'm going to have you for you next week. So as always, support independent wrestling. And importantly, embrace the vision. Thank you very much, and see you all next week right here on Ringside Rant.